The following production is an exclusive presentation of the Penn Sports Network and 88.5 WXPN Philadelphia, broadcasting University of Pennsylvania men's basketball. Basketball on the Penn Sports Network is on the air on 88.5 XPN and is brought to you in part by Abner's Cheesesteaks and CN8, the Comcast Network, Comcast Sportsnet, Holiday Inn, Historic District, Independence Blue Cross, the Inn at Penn and Penn A Restaurant, Pico Energy, the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News, Sprint Turf, United Healthcare, and World Cafe Live. Setting the scene now for the game, going around the Ivy League, and bringing you inside the program with Quaker head coach Glenn Miller, it's the University of Pennsylvania men's basketball pregame show presented by Pepsi. Alongside former Quaker Vince Curran, here's the play-by-play voice of Quaker Hoops, Brian Seltzer.
Recharged after a rough 1-6 start, the Red and Blue return to action after a lengthy holiday hiatus, the 24-day layoff, the longest in program history. For the second straight season, Penn puts a capper on the calendar year in the Sunshine State as the Quakers try to turn a positive page on this campaign. With that, from the UCF Arena, capacity 10,000 on the campus of the University of Central Florida in Orlando, this is Penn Basketball. A happy belated holiday, and here's to a great new year. I'm Brian Seltzer alongside Vince Curran. Vin, man, it feels like forever since we last spoke about these Penn Quakers.
Is it a happy belated holiday? Isn't today the 8th day? It could still be a happy holiday, couldn't it, Dustin?
That was a little bit premature in my thinking. You're correct.
I know some of our audience are on your side of the fence, some are on my side of the fence. I've got to make sure that we have our facts straight.
Well, Vince, the last time we saw these Penn Quakers in action, they lost to Navy 76-65, the first time the midshipmen defeated Penn at the Palestra in exactly 49 years to the date. And the Red and Blue are on somewhat of a skid right now with four straight losses. What do you expect to see from the squad this evening?
Well, you hope that they spent the 24 days off regrouping, refocusing, looking at areas where they were weak. They have not rebounded the ball particularly well this year. I think they're on the ball. Defense needs to improve. They don't do it. It's an overused phrase, but they don't do a good enough job of keeping people in front of them. And I think some team concepts are need to be improved as well. Rotation defensively. If you get beat, good defensive teams will make one rotation. Very good will make two rotations. Great defensive teams will make three and four rotations so that you're never really out of bounds. Right now, Penn has to get to the point where they're making one and two and three rotations in the event that they get beat. Preferably, don't get beat. But that's going to happen throughout a basketball game. But once that happens, you need to react better and be more in unison and in sync with your teammates.
The Penn Quakers at 1-6 off to their worst start in 8 years when they began the 2000-2001 campaign with a mark of 0-8. They tip off against the Central Florida Golden Knights at 6-4. And just because Penn wasn't playing these past 24 days doesn't mean the Quakers weren't hard at work in practices. And some discouraging developments for Penn. Two players lost to injury for this season, Andreas Schreiber and Darren Smith. Dre re-separated his shoulder in practice the week following the Navy game. Darren Smith's kneecap just hasn't healed right, and then Tommy McMahon, with his recurring injuries, has decided to leave the program. So, Penn, without those three guys the rest of the way in 2008-2009, what impact will that have?
Well, it gives Glenn Miller fewer options, I think, especially Andreas and Darren, two guys he thought he'd be able to get minutes from. But if you look down the bench at the beginning of the year, there's like 25 guys on the bench. It's like, my God, how do you come up with a rotation? So it may be one of those things that ends up being a little bit of addition by subtraction where you can define roles. Zach Eggleston's playing a lot of minutes right now. It'd be interesting to see if somebody else can step up and give him a break, because 37 minutes a game from a front court player playing that kind of physical basketball is going to take its toll in the long term. So it'd be nice if maybe Larry Lockery could step up, Cam Lewis, a couple of those other front court players, just to get Jack a couple minutes, because I think he might have more success if he jammed his production into 32 or 33 minutes instead of 37, 38, 39 minutes.
And you know, we here at the Penn Sports Network, we always try to keep it positive. So with the bad news, we have some good. Justin Riley made the trip down to Florida. He's been battling a sports hernia really since
the middle of last season, and Mike Hallett appears closer to coming back onto the court as well.
Yep. I think that's two positives. I think Justin's still a little way away. Mike, hopefully a little bit sooner, but obviously you got to as your man Andy Reid likes to say something, we just got to bring somebody else in, and somebody else needs to step up and do their job. And Theo may not have liked it, but it's a philosophy that as coaches you have to adopt.
The Penn Quakers at the UCF Holiday Classic trying to get into the championship final tomorrow night, where the winner of this game will meet Chicago State, who beat Campbell earlier on this afternoon by a score of 98-89. A tough task for Penn. The host squad, Central Florida, unblemished here at the UCF Arena at 4-0 on this campaign.
How about the line for the kid from Chicago State, second leading scorer in the country, David Holston? They list him at 5'8". He's 5'5". Tops. He goes for 40, yes, 40 in 30 minutes. And this is after sitting out 5 minutes late in the game. I thought he was going to hit 50. But he goes for 40 with 10 assists. And, yes, they'll see 10 turnovers, the old-fashioned triple-double.
Well, Vince, as you like to say,
might want to guard him. Might want to put a hand up on him. Actually, you don't even have to put a hand up on him. You can put an elbow up on him. He's like 5'2".
Cannon,
he's getting taller.
Coming up in a couple minutes as the Pepsi pregame show rolls on, Vince Curran chats with the John R. Rockwell, head coach of men's basketball here at Penn, Glenn Miller.
By the way, that's not cowbell in the background.
This is Jim McLean. I haven't played nothing but cowbell songs this afternoon.
That's the real bell.
That's the big gong. For whom the bell tolls, the Quakers hoping that perhaps it is the home squad Central Florida Golden Knights. So the Glenn Miller chat coming up on the other side. You're listening to Penn Basketball on 88.5 SPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
This is 88.5 WXPN Philadelphia, 88.7 WXPH Middletown, York and Lancaster, 90.5 WKHS Wharton, Baltimore, 99.7 Harrisburg, 104.9 in the Lehigh Valley, YROC on HD2, and worldwide at xpn.org. Member-supported radio from the University of Pennsylvania.
AT&T supports University of Pennsylvania men's basketball on XPN. AT&T provides monthly access programs for Penn faculty, students, and staff. In addition, AT&T features the latest devices, rollover minutes, and the AT&T Upgrade Advantage for loyal customers. For more information, the website is att.com/wireless. You're listening to University of Pennsylvania Basketball on 88.5 XPN in Philadelphia.
The Penn Quakers back on the court after taking off the past 24 days. They are down in Orlando, Florida, as they are welcomed by the 6-4 Central Florida Golden Knights. The Golden Knights hosting this Holiday Classic tournament, and Central Florida has won it each of the past two seasons. Earlier this evening, Vince Curran sat down with the John R. Rockwell head coach of men's basketball here at Penn. That is Glenn Miller, the head coach, trying to turn around the Quakers' fortunes after their 1-6 start to this season.
Vince Curran here with Coach Glenn Miller, coach down in Orlando, Florida. I'm sure you got down to see Mickey and Minnie on the way down. 24 days since the last time you got a chance to throw the ball up in the air with the Quakes. Obviously, a tough start, but there have to be some things with which you were encouraged. Give me a couple of them.
Well, we're trying to find a lineup, some chemistry out there, and obviously we struggle. We've had guys in and out of the lineup, guys injured, some guys coming back, some guys not coming back. We're still a very young team, so it's good to get to the layoff and kind of regroup and work on some things, and hopefully you'll see a much improved team tonight.
Talk about areas in which you'd like to improve. Maybe give me a couple areas. And I know you'd probably like a little better defensive effort, maybe some better rebounding. If I missed anything, or where did you focus those 24 days?
We spent a lot of time with our ball pressure defensively, with our position defense, really just becoming a real good team defense. So we worked on individual defensive fundamentals as well as team fundamentals, and a lot of man-to-man defense. We worked hard on our rebounding, the execution of it, the technique, and then offensively, we really want to be a team that changes the size of the floor a little more with the ball and gets it inside. I think we became a quick shooting team, and we've got to probe the defense a little better, and I think in the course of doing that, it will help our defense too.
since we last got a chance to talk, we'll find out Andreas Schreiber now out for the year, Darren Smith now out for the year. Give us a little idea of how do you deal with losing players that you thought would be major contributors to your team and how you kind of regroup around that. The other thing that is somewhat encouraging is that Justin Riley has made this trip. Give us a little update on his progress and when we might expect him back.
I think it's easy to make excuses as a staff, and that's something we haven't done to this point. We won't start to make excuses now. It's obviously disappointing for those guys. Darren's been out 2 years now, and, Andreas Schreiber worked over the summer and had hoped for a real strong junior year, and both those kids had a chance to be real key players for us, but we're not getting them back. We know that. We have to accept that and just try to be a good basketball team with the players we have, and we have some guys that are eager to get out there and develop and improve and go from there. As far as Justin goes, he's still a ways away from being in game shape. Same is true with Mike Hallett, but they're both back practicing, and that's a good sign. They both have two full practices under their belt. That might not sound much to you guys, but I mean, we waited a long time for these guys to get to the point where they can engage in a full practice, and that's a start.
You talked a little earlier about probing the defense and being able to get good shots offensively. One of the things that folks have noticed is maybe Tyler has struggled a little bit in getting his shots. Have you put in anything, maybe some back screens, some hard screens to get him open, maybe a couple of sets? Because it seems like teams have really focused on him and pressed out on him and made him work awfully hard to get good looks.
Well, when we're running our offense the way we want to, there's a lot of movement. There is a lot of screens in our offense, but I think, he has to display much more patience on offense. You can't, if he's going to try to get his shot off the first pass, the frustration is going to continue because good defenses, and as you've alluded to, they're keying on him. So don't expect to be open off the first pass, probably not even the first ball reversal. If we can go side, top, side, change sides of the floor multiple times, I think then you see defenses break down, and that's where he's going to get his best shot opportunities.
Vince Kern here with Coach Glenn Miller. Coach, the Central Florida Knights tonight, and this is kind of the springboard into what we would call the second half of the season. How important is it after the 24-day layoff to really give a good effort and see some positives and see some areas of improvement as you go into the end of the non-conference and then into the Ivy League?
Well, I think it's very important. We've invested quite a bit of time in trying to improve on our weaknesses and highlight our strengths, and we want to see that tonight when we get into a game situation against a good Central Florida team. They've been an upper echelon Conference USA team. They've got a premier player in Taylor. And so we're going to have a defensive challenge there.
And you talked a little bit about UCF and Taylor being their key guy. Give a little idea as to what you expect from them in terms of type of play, both on the offensive and defensive end.
Well, they're predominantly a man-to-man defensive team. They will show some zone look here and there, but their bread and butter is their man-to-man defense. Offensively, they're predominantly a motion offense team. They have very good movement. They'll run some sets to take advantage of getting guys shots and certain areas of the floor, and they've got a good mixture of youth and experience, and they have a professional prospect in this kid Taylor, who's averaging 20 points a game. It's interesting, at home this team is a different team. Taylor averages, his scoring average goes from 20 up to 27 points a game in their four home games that they've had, and as a team they average 87 points a game at home. So the stats will tell you that they're a much more difficult team to play at home than on the road.
Okay, Coach, Vince Curran here with Coach Glenn Miller tonight as you get the University of Central Florida Knights. Good luck, Coach.
Thanks, Vince.
Thank you, Coach Miller. Thank you, Vince Curran, as these two teams take the floor, getting set to tip off in the second contest of two today in the Central Florida Holiday Classic. 10 in the road blues with 10 in white across the front, white numbers front and back. UCF in their home whites with UCF in gold on the front and black numbers on the front and the back. 10 starting lineups: Zach Rosen, Tyler Bernardini, freshman Rob Belcour, and in the front court, Jack Eggleston, Brennan Votel. And for the Golden Knights, A.J. Romsa, Taylor Young, Jermaine Taylor, Tony Davis, and Kenrick Zondervan. At the UCF logo, at the center of the floor, it is Mike Wood. There's the toss.
Right at you, Chelsea.
It is taken by the Golden Knights and knocked out of bounds by Jermaine Taylor, but it was right there from his in-man. You are correct.
That's a baby ducking away. That's what you got to go get. Coming right to you.
I need to be more spying out of my seat. And moving from left to right, operating the offense is Zach Rosen. Penn trying to stop a four-game slide and reverse the fortunes of this 1-6 start to 2008-2009.
That's Central Florida in an extended man-to-man, trying to put a lot of ball pressure on Penn. Zach Rosen actually has a size advantage on Rasta. CP tried to take advantage of that and shoot over the top of him.
12 on the shot clock. Eggleston near right corner. Short on the three-point attempt. It hits the underside of the netting. An air ball, and UCF back the other way. Rasta stops in the far right corner to Jermaine Taylor. Taylor tears his way into the lane, lost the ball, picked up by 10. 3-on-1 the other way. Bernardini left side, lays it in for Deuce, and the Quakers strike first.
Good to get out and see that running right there. Easy chance for Bernardini early.
And back the other way, it is Taylor Young, as this is a very quick pace.
The upset, side of a two. Don't need me, Celtics. He's going to go up and down. It's going to be all play-by-play.
Taylor Young, the sophomore redshirt guard out of right here in Orlando, Florida. Ball knocked out of bounds by Young for UCF along the near right sideline. So Penn will inbound with 24 seconds on the shot clock. First time these two teams tangling in the history of their respective programs.
They're the last Ivy League team to come down here and win in this tournament, Celtics.
I believe that was the
Glenn Miller 2004 Brown squad with Dumpy the Bear.
Far sideline left, Bernardini under the arc, a long two is short off the iron. The rebound is through the hands of Ronsa, and he deflects it to Zondervan. UCF right to left back the other way, and out of control it is Ronsa, who nearly lost the ball. Belcourt pops it free away from Taylor, and Brandon Botel tickles it in.
Two tips for Belcourt early. Good to see him playing the D.
Bernardini from Eggleston draws the foul on the right block, and Tyler Bernardini will head to the strike. Tyler Bernardini misfired on his first shot of this game.
Not true, Brian. He made a layup to start this game.
Pardon me, his second shot.
Well, all right.
It's been 24 days, Vince, just trying to get back into a rhythm. Tyler, though, has been marred in a recent slump. 13 for 40 coming into this contest, and Tyler calmly connects on his first. He has all three of Penn's points, and they lead it by one with 18:23 to go in the first half.
I hate to do this, Steve. He's been mired in a slump.
You're right.
In a slump.
Super two, Celtics for a minute.
Man.
Bernardini buries his second. And I was actually thinking about which word it was before I said it, but clearly
I chose
incorrectly.
And the Quakers are in man-to-man. Surprising. They've been playing a little of that matchup zone, not as much man. But getting after it man-to-man first, three or four possessions here.
Tony Davis, far right point, lobs it right side of the lane to Taylor Young. Now Zondervan with it, lost the ball. The Quakers force UCF to cough it up again. And then rumbles back the other way ahead 4-2. Belcourt brings down a high pass from Bernardini near sideline right. Far left point to Rosen. Rosen off the screen from Botel back to Brennan, top of the arc. He feeds it underneath, a little bit too far out in front of Jack Eggleston. Ball back to the Golden Knights.
No angle that time for Brennan Botel. I talk about it all the time. He takes one dribble to his left, and it's a layup. Instead, he goes a straight on, and the ball goes out of bounds.
Taylor to the 10 as he drops it in the cup. A nice little finger roll finish. It's even at 4.
Dribble at back door. Ronsa at Taylor. Taylor goes back door and gets the easy layup.
Far sideline left Eggleston to the far left baseline. In the near right corner, puck faking is Bernardini. Now he puts it up and pours it in from the perimeter. So Tyler Bernardini, a strong stroke so far. He has all 10-7 points. They lead it by 3. Belcourt draws contact from Taylor, no call. Rebound on the Taylor miss is loose beneath. Last touch by 10 beneath the bucket. Connor Turley checking in for Brennan Botel.
Glenn Miller not happy with that post. He says, stay right here. And gives Brennan a quick talking to and get him back.
Turley has logged only 5 total minutes his past 2 contests. Off the inbound, Young too strong. It hit the underside of the rim. It's tapped out. Belcourt to Rosen. Near right, Rosen for 3. Off the back of the rim. No offensive rebound through the hands of Bernardini. And bringing it in for UCF, it is Ronson. Ronson looking for Taylor far right. And batting the pass away is Belcourt.
5 times so far. Rob Belcourt, 5 times he's either tipped balls or made great catches in 3 minutes. So that is a big lift for players early. And now Cam Lewis is going to get Jack Eggleston, who got beat back door on that last inbound play. I didn't think you would see this front court rotation, but Cam Lewis and Connor Turley right now out there for Penn.
Penn up 7-4 with 16:50 to go in the first half. Top of the key, Young, far right point, Romsey in the far right corner to Davis. Heaves a pass near side to Young. at the near left point. Far right wing romps the foul line. Pionk, near left corner, Taylor with 13 on the shot clock, comes up short on a three attempt, rebound to Turley, and Penn will move the opposite direction. Ahead to Lewis from Rosen. He waits and patiently is blocked. Far left Bernardini hoist for three, and he can't hit. Davis brings down the rebound.
And Cam got trapped in traffic right there and actually had the shot blocked twice. Bernardini in the right place gets a good look at a three, not able to knock it down.
Davis has Young, far right point, back to Davis under the arc near left wing, locks in on the 17-footer to sink it and bring UCF within one. Quakers still with the lead by 1.76.
Connor Turley a little late on the closeout right there, and Davis able to knock it down.
Belcour Lewis right side, and Cam draws contact, no connection. But Cam Lewis trying to inject some energy in the front court for Penn. Unable to finish, though, right there.
I got to tell you, the player I'm most impressed with for Penn right now is Rob Belcour. He has really come out and played very well. That time a little up fake, draws two defenders, and hits Cam Lewis open on the baseline. Cam, not as quick as he needed to be going up for that, allows the UCF defender to come over. Who got him there, Celtics? Who's got the foul?
You're looking for UCF?
Yeah.
They come on against Romsa.
Romsa? That can't be right.
It's like they just put it up there.
That, if that is in fact the case, that Romsa came over and blocked Cam Lewis's dunk attempt at the rim,
I'm just calling it like I see it up there.
It's got to be a video replay of that. It couldn't have been Romsa.
Romsa is on the other side.
It's like an 8-foot high jumper.
15:57 to go in the first half, 7-6, Penn leading by one. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on 88.5 ESPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Hi, this is head coach Glenn Miller, and you're listening to Quaker Basketball on 88.5 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
Pepsi supports Penn Basketball on ESPN. For more information about Pepsi products, like the traditional cola, the new Diet Pepsi Max, and purified Aquafina water, the website is Pepsi.com. Pepsi, it's the cola. For the most up-to-date information on Penn basketball, visit the official University of Pennsylvania Athletics website at PennAthletics.com.
.57 remaining in the opening stanza. Cam Lewis at the stripe, trying to add to Penn's one-point lead, and Cam does a perfect swish.
You sound so surprised, Brian.
Well, then, man, Cam has now only had three make this, coming up four opportunities from the stripe this season. We all know how he shot it last year. The second one for Lewis, off the back of the iron, no good, and a foul on the play.
The tough call on Connor Turley going over the back of A.J. Tyler. And Tyler is just, you know, it's not Connor Turley's fault that Tyler went after that rebound a little softly, but the officials bailed him out right there.
8-6, Penn by a pair with 15:49 to go in the first half. Isaac Sosa, the second leading scorer for the squad, is in off the bench for UCF along with Chris Baia. Here is Romsa rumbling left side of the lane over Rosen, and the ball gets lodged between the rim and the glass, and it's a jump ball. Possession arrow points Golden Knights way.
And Romsa was romping his way to the rim right there. He didn't care whether Zach Rosen was in front of him. He was getting his. Rosen does a good job of not fouling right there and forcing up a tough shot that just gets wedged into the rim right there.
Tyler, top of the key, far right to Sosa in the corner, and he baits Bernardini for the foul. That is the second against the Quakers here in the first.
And Glenn Miller going to get Kevin Iggy in for Tyler Bernardini. I always like that move. A guy picks up a tough foul call like that, get him out of there, even if it's just for a second or two, so he doesn't pick up two back-to-back and really put himself in harm's way.
Sosa, the freshman, exchanges passes with his fellow rookie, Romsa. Sosa top guard, Tyler foul line, far sideline right, it's Baez on the right block to Zondervan. Top of the key, they have Romsa near left on the wing. Sosa goes beneath the arc. Duxlander hands off to Baez, reverses strong to even it at 8 apiece with 15:10 to go in the first.
I got to tell you, though, Brian, Penn's defense pretty good right there. We talked about needing to rotate, needing to help your team. It happened three or four times in that possession. Unfortunately, at the end for Penn, UCF gets it done on the baseline.
Gaines, far left alley, top of the arc, Belcourt. Belcourt, left high post, far left, Gaines for three. Can't get it to go. Rebound ricochets off the rim and the glass. And a foul on the play, and it'll go against Cam Lewis. That's his first and the Quakers' third. Ken has not trailed in this tilt so far. UCF seeking its first lead, as the score is knotted up at 8 apiece, 14:45 to go in the first. As we mentioned earlier, Central Florida has not lost a game here at their home arena. And on the right block, Baez bumps off Turley, and for Turley, that will be a second personal foul.
Zach Eggleston going to come back in for Connor Turley. Connor did a pretty good job on his last possession, bumping the cutter as he comes in the lane. And that time, I thought he had position on Tyler, but the official on the baseline who gets the vote saw it the other way. No hanging Chad there, Brian, here in the land of the hanging Chad.
Robson, near left point, drifts top of the arc. Bronx the foul line, Tyler. Tyler kicks it near left corner. Sosa, short on the three underneath the rebound. Baez blocked by Lewis. Far right, Romsa tracks it down, beating Gaines. Romsa feeds it into the lane. It deflects to Baez. Back to Romsa now, top of the arc. He has Sosa in the far left corner. Sosa spies up the seam, goes back to Romsa at the UCF logo, middle of the floor. Baez near left point, top of the arc, hands off to Sosa. 12 on the shot clock for UCF, tied up at 8. Romsa way deep, far right by the timeline, with 5 on the shot clock, goes under the arc left side. Time for Key Tyler, 3, good, no good.
Bad
he misses, but there's a foul call on the play.
That is bad officiating right there. Jack Eggleston makes the rotation out because Romsa comes off that high ball screen. Kevin Iggy helping Harrison Gaines. They both end up on Romson. Ball kicks back to the top of the key to Tyler, who shoots with a hand in his face, and then all he does is throw both hands forward and create the contact. That's eighth grade girls basketball officiating right there.
Tyler at the stripe, his first one falls to provide UCF with their first edge of this evening. Tyler on the season, he is now 7 of 9 from the foul line. He had 6 points in UCF's previous game against Valpo on the 22nd, and notches number 2. Now 10-8 UCF with 13:49 to go in the first half, as Jermaine Taylor, the second leading scorer in Conference USA, averaging 20.4 per tilt, checks back into the game along with Tony Davis, who himself offers 8.6 per contest.
Both coaches feeling like they get paid by the substitution tonight. They're running a minute out of there in a pretty good clip.
Tyler gets the roll to rattle home. Perfect from the foul line. Those three attempts. 11-8. A lead for UCF. Gaines with the ball. He mans the point for Penn with Zach Rosen on the bench. Top of the arc, Jack Eggleston swings a high pass that's brought down by Gaines far left on the wing. Gaines, touch pass to Eggleston, top of the key. Near right on the perimeter to Tyler Bernardini. Tyler with 7 of Penn's 8. Iggy at the near right point, 10 on the shot clock. Bernardini, top of the arc, near right corner to Eggleston, drives along the near right baseline, and he throws it away. To Romsa, head of the pack, Taylor, cuts past Gaines to the cup. He lays it in for 2 more points. Taylor with 4, and a whistle blows. Stepping along the sideline and out of bounds near right on the wing is Kevin Iggy.
You can't see it from where we are, but it's funny. It's the sideline. There isn't really a line. It just changes colors. And maybe that has jammed up a couple of visiting players. Because in the first game tonight, 3 or 4 guys did it in that same spot right over there.
And Kevin Iggy had a little something to say to A.J. Romsa of UCF as the two were tangled up after Iggy stepped over the near sideline. Tyler, near sideline left Romsa, who pitches it down low on the left block to Taylor. And Iggy is called for the foul in his pen. Is getting rung up for the horns these past couple minutes.
First game lasted about 2.5 hours because the officials were putting both teams on the line a good bit. And Central Florida getting a little home cooking here early.
Davis off the inbounds, near sideline left. It's 13-8 UCF with 12:47 to go in the first half. Launched the far sideline right to Taylor. Taylor being waved at by Iggy. Top of the key, Sosa. Near sideline left on the wing, Romsa on the left block.
to Tyler. Top of the arc, Robinson back to Tyler, working on Lewis. Turns to his right. The off-balance shot is deflected and then knocked out of bounds while it was in the air by UCF's Tony Davis. So the Red and Blue regain possession in desperate need of a bucket or some points.
Davis pushed Jack Eggleston pretty hard. It looked like Jack was ready to come up and pop him. Maintained his composure. I think it helped the 10 got the ball out of bounds.
Iggy near right perimeter in the alley. Goes far left to Bernardini on the wing. Top of the key, Cam Lewis. Back to Iggy near sideline right. Iggy hits the hole in the lane, draws the foul. No finish. But Kevin Iggy will head to the stripe with a chance for two.
Too far away. Penn's offense right now is all perimeter, all around that three-point arc. Until just at the end there, Kevin Iggy makes a dive to the basket. You see what happens. Good thing if you can attack, get into the gaps, make teams rotate. And that time, Kev gets from the three-point arc with his left hand almost all the way to the basket.
Kevin Iggy first, he drains it, tuning out the distracting crowd. A decent fan turnout for UCF. This is a tremendous facility that they opened last year. And UCF 16-4 all time in this building. And since this is a program that has really made its investment in men's basketball, it joined Conference USA in 2005 from the Atlantic Sun as Iggy cans number two. Bring Penn within three, 13-10 is the score. UCF with the ball and the lead with 12:05 to go in the first.
And a huge school, 46,000 undergraduates, Ryan.
Sosa stops at the stripe. Now far right point to Zondervan. Top of the arc to Romsa. Romsa works it near left to Sosa. Far right on the wing to Tyler. Romsa at the near left point rolls it to Jermaine Taylor. The fader on the near left baseline, and he buries it to Jermaine Taylor, the senior, sixth. And UCF leads by five again, 15-10.
Pretty good defense by Kevin Iggy. Taylor just hits a tough turnaround, fading away. Not much Kev could do right there.
Iggy responds with a three-pointer at the top of the arc. So Kevin Iggy stops the drought. He had missed a three-pointer in each of his three previous contests, but he connects right there. Iggy with five and 10 within a pair.
Right in Taylor's eye right there. Taylor a little late coming off that screen, a little lazy. And Kevin Iggy busts it right in his grill.
Romsa pushes his way into the paint, and Penn picks up another foul.
This is incredible. I mean, it's just another little ticky-tack foul. It's just frustrating, Selfie. I mean, like, I understand that I'm a little farcical with the fifth graders, but like, when you see just bad officiating like that, it really can drive you up a wall.
It's a long way from Philly to the happiest, darndest place on the planet, Orlando, Florida, as the Penn Quakers are finding out as they now have 17 fouls. 15-13, UCF leading the Quakes. Timeout on the floor. That's your score. You're listening to Penn Basketball on 88.5 SPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Chili's supports Penn Basketball on SPN. Chili's restaurant is located at 38th and Chestnut Street and is open for lunch and dinner. Chili's restaurant, located in University City.
Our next Street Noon concert is this Friday, January 2nd, from World Cafe Live, 88.5 XPN, and NPR Music presents the first Street Noon session of 2009 with Winter Pills. Winter Pills from Northampton, Massachusetts are on tour in support of their new album, Central Chambers. They'll be here this Friday, January 2nd, for free at noon. Hear it on your radio at xpn.org or join us at World Cafe Live. Details on our website, xpn.org. Support for the XPN Free at Noon concert series provided by Comcast and XPN members.
You're listening to University of Pennsylvania Basketball on 88.5 XPN in Philadelphia.
Roscoe for UCF misfires on the front end of the 1-1, and back the other way, Harrison Gaines now draws the foul on A.J. Robson. 11:04 to go in the opening stanza. Penn trailing UCF by 2, 15-13. They could tie or take the lead on this possession as they move from left to right.
Romsa out of Whitney Young High School in Chicago, home of what former Quaker great, Brian?
You know what, Vin Man?
That would be that Walt Frazier.
You know, that's who I was going to guess. If I had a guess, that's the one I was going to give. And a whistle on the play on the give and go from Votel to Gaines. Another personal pickup by UCF. They now have five team fouls, and that goes against Taylor Young's, his first. Penn will inbound along the near right baseline. Harrison Gaines will punch it in for the Quakers. As this game, it's been physical and tight and tense for the most part. Tyler Bernardini along the right baseline, no good. But for the foul and the tie, Brennan Votel on the left block. Brennan Votel on the board for the first time this evening. Tied up at 15. Sosa top of the arc, losing the ball as Taylor. Sosa regathers it on the left block. Tyler swivels inside for the deuce.
That's hang time by Tyler. Jack Eggleston came out and gets a hand up. Well, there's 50-50 balls right there. UCF comes up with and gets the layup.
Iggy top of the arc, the left high post. Top of the key now. Eggleston near sideline, right to Gaines, right baseline. Bernardini bump. No bucket, but Tyler will head to the line with an opportunity to tie for the Quakers as they trail at 17-15, 10-17 to go in the first.
Two leaners in a row for Tyler right there. Looks like he was more concerned on those last two shots of getting the contact rather than getting up and getting to the rim. And it's not like Central Florida has a real shot-blocking presence out there. I think Tyler can be a little more comfortable going to the basket as he knocks down that first one. But taking, he gets to the line. I like the way he's going aggressively right now. So I don't want to focus too much on that fact, but Tyler makes the second.
Well, this is about as good a start as Tyler Bernardini could have asked for. 9 points so far,
yep.
Just six the previous game against Navy. And for him, he said in the online 10 Men's Basketball All-Access segment on thegreat10athletics.com, I'm going to keep shooting. I know I'll work through this and fight through it. And so far, Tyler Bernardini seems to be turning around a little bit. Young passing to Zondervan on the left block. And another foul, this one committed by the Quakes. It goes against Brennan Votel, his first, and the eighth against the Red and Blue.
Wow, that's another little nickel-dimer touch foul.
One and one upcoming for Tyler, A.J. Tyler. 3-for-3 from the free throw line so far tonight. He was harmed on the perimeter earlier on in the half. Tyler averaging 6-4, transfer from Clemson, and he converts on the front end and now has another one coming as he puts UCF back on top by 118-17, 10:03 to go in the first. Tyler, he has 6, and give him now 7, 6 of those coming from the foul line. Full court press picked up by UCF, and Penn trying to break it with Iggy along the far left sideline. He crosses the timeline. Bring Penn into the front court, down to 19-17.
One of the things that really helps Penn is Brennan Votel's ability to handle the ball from that front court position against the press.
Rosen, top of the arc, goes to Iggy, near right baseline, one dribble on the floor, lost the ball in traffic, regathers, pick out top of the key. Rosen, left block, Votel trying to blast inside. He's forced into the walk by Kenrick Zondervan.
How about Kevin Iggy setting his screen? We talked about somebody needing to set a hard back screen to get Tyler Bernardini open in a couple games this year. That time, Kevin Iggy just absolutely annihilated Taylor Young.
Kevin Iggy has been relegated to a reserve role the past three games, playing with an intent purpose tonight. Another foul against the Penn Quakers, and it goes against Iggy.
Come on! Are you kidding me? That, Dusty, that is a total, you know that 20 I let you hold? It's time for you to pay me back. My man misses it on the one end, decides that Young cries to him a little bit, and now they call that on this end?
I got to regain my composure. I am. It's frightening how poorly this game is being officiated right now.
Jermaine Taylor to the line. He has 6 so far, the leading scorer for his squad, and the front end is a perfect switch. And, you know, Mike Wood, one of the officials tonight, came over before the game, and I was just trying to do my due diligence by asking him the names of the officiating crew, and he offered me a fist pound, and I was like, you know what, I probably won't say a negative thing about you guys tonight, but hey, they're making it hard.
Well, as I said to you before the game, you know it's a bad sign when the officials are over here brother-in-lawing it up with the head coach who's sitting right next to me. They were yucking it up like they were Thanksgiving dinner.
Taylor tacks on his second. It's 21-17, UCF by 4.
Bernardini, top of the key now at the UCF logo to Rosen. Rosen crosses off to the far left side, stops on a nine, top of the key, Eggleston, near right corner to Belcourt. Rosen to Votel, turns to his left, top of the arc, Bernardini, can't hit it from beyond, rebound loose in the near corner, and watching it go out of bounds wisely for UCF, Henrik Sondervan, and the Golden Knights get the ball back.
How about those good offense by Penn? Rob Belcourt, we're talking about Brendan Votel taking a bad angle for the entry pass. Belcourt that time takes the dribble, gets the angle, finds Brendan Votel on the block. When he gets doubled, kicks it out to the top of the key for the wide open three. Very good offense for Penn right there, even though the shot doesn't go down.
Taylor takes his far right baseline and gets it as he puts up the 15-footer as UCF has their largest lead at 6 of the night. 23-17, 8:50 to go in the first.
Can't really complain about what Rob Belcourt did right there. He makes Taylor take a tough shot with a hand in his face.
Bernardini drills it as he faded away at the top of the key. A long two to make it 23-19 as Tyler is in double digits. He has 11 points. 8.5 to go in the first, Penn trailing by 4 points. Taylor near left wing, well short off the iron. Rebound tipped around above the rim. And a foul being called against, yes, the UCF Golden Knight. That is Kenner Zondervan.
Belcourt again, though, with Taylor. Forces him on the pull-up and is right up on him. For a guy that you look at, you say, you know, he doesn't look to be the fleetest of foot, but he moves well laterally. He positions himself well. He takes good angles. Very impressed with his defense so far in this game.
The Quakers trying to chip away and claw closer in this contest. Votel's front end does not fall. High rebound is hauled in by Zondervan, and UCF glides back from right to left. Baez, top of the arc, Zondervan. Top of the key, Sosa. Far right points Young, trying to spin away from Rosen. Top of the arc. A long three on the way for Baez, and he buries it from beyond. 26-19 as Glenn Miller takes a timeout as UCF stretches this one to 7. It is their biggest advantage of the night.
Zach Eggleston a little late on the closeout right there. Is that Baez that knocked that down or Sosa?
It was Baez.
It was Baez. And Baez open at the top of the key. And Glenn Miller has seen enough and wants to build on this positive first half. I mean, Brian, if you look at last year's trip to Florida, 6 points in the first half. Today you're playing a better team at a better pace with a more competitive game. So already this is a more successful trip than last year's trip down to Florida, and hopefully Penn can continue to build on it.
And just like last year's jaunt down to Fort Myers, we'll be joined by Penn Director of Athletics Steve Bilski at the intermission, so you want to be sure to stay tuned for that conversation. Steve, looking forward to talking about the program and exciting progress being made for Penn Athletics as the campaign for Penn Athletics is starting to kick into full swing, so we'll give you an update on that. That's on the way on the United Healthcare Halftime Report. 8 minutes until then, game time. The Quakers trying to chip away in the 7-point lead, and they call a walk against Tyler Bernardini along the near right wing, and a turnover against Penn gives the ball back to the Golden Knights.
Tyler didn't like the call, but I think it was the right one. He was looking for his offense. Couple of screens right there, starting to feel it a little bit, and gets his feet crossed up a little bit coming off that last one.
Penn on the defensive, out of a timeout. Timeout on the floor. The score, Penn trailing UCF 26-19. With 7:58 to go in the first. You're listening to Penn Basketball on 88.5 SPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Comcast Sportsnet supports Penn Basketball on XPN and features highlights of the Quakers on Sports Night, as well as its Sports Rise, Sports Day, and Daily News Live program. For the latest sports news around the Delaware Valley, it's Comcast Sportsnet. For the most up-to-date information on Penn Basketball, visit the official University of Pennsylvania Athletics website at pennathletics.com.
Hi, this is Head Coach Glenn Miller, and you're listening to Quaker Basketball on 88.5 SPN, the Penn Sports Network.
7 minutes and 58 seconds to go in the first. The Penn Quakers behind to the UCF Golden Knights 26-19. In the nightcapper of the UCF Holiday Classic, day number one, and the winner of this bout goes on to face Chicago State in the championship final tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock.
Where's Chicago State, Brian?
Spectrum man. Doesn't leave much of the imagination in there.
Look at that. Show you softball.
Well, I appreciate that.
Golden Knights with the ball from right to left. Tyler top of the arc. Far right point to Sosa. Shrugs off Belcour. Blast through the lane. The finger roll with the left hand. No good. Rebound recorded by Eggleston. Red and blue back the other way. Tyler Stoss, near side right. It rattles around the rim and out. No good on the three attempt. And the board belongs to Zonovan. Back the other way. Tyler draws the foul. And he can't get the bucket to fall. Out of position to make that call. The official on the baseline apparently has x-ray vision. His x-ray vision, because he was able to see through Tyler and see that Zach Rosen actually got him on the wrist. The 10th team foul against Penn. I want to go to his LASIK eye surgery doctor. Tyler lays a beautiful brick.
That's the first free throw miss of the night.
The thing of it is, if he had been in position, he would have been able to make the call. I mean, I think the call was wrong, but the fact that he made it from being out of position is the frustrating part.
Tyler sinks his second, and that makes it 27-19, an 8-point edge for UCF with 7:28 to go in the first. Penn breaks the full court press. Rosen near side right at the point. Thinks three. Now as Lewis top of the key. Nearly lost the ball. Regathered it. And Penn still works their set. Bernardini pin near sideline right with Baez in his grill.
Deco energy.
Lewis back. Has Jack Eggleston gotten a shot yet tonight? He's got to get something going to him. Maybe get him down on the low block. Let him go to work.
Top of the key. Eggleston five on the shot clock. Rosen foul line pulls up jumper. And he can't get the bounce to bottom home. Board beneath by Baez. Tenuous territory right here for Penn. Trailing by eight, back on the defensive with 6:50 to go in the first. In the lane, Baez stripped of the ball by Eggleston on a poor pass from Davis. Rosen shakes the defender back the other way, and an offensive charge assessed against Rosen, his second personal foul.
I think that's the right call. Zach Rosen, I think a little frustrated after missing that last jumper, felt like he had been fouled. Pushing the action up the floor floats a little bit. If you float, that gives the opportunity for the defender to be there and let you come into him. If you go straight up and down, you're not going to get the charge called.
Walking the ball back up the floor, right to left, for UCF. Taylor Young from right here in Orlando, Florida, out of the First Academy.
Not the second.
Not the second, good man. Not to be mistaken for the second or third. Tim Lewis got his hand on the ball and a foul beneath. An illegal pick going against Tyler for UCF, so Penn gets the ball regardless.
I missed that one, so I've got to be honest with you. I was watching Cam Lewis, who makes a great play coming over the top to knock that ball away, but Penn gets one away from the ball.
So the Quakes have kept this one within single digits. They're behind by 8, 27-19. They need a little offense. And there's Gaines catching the hold of the rack. The right-handed runner falls for Harrison Gaines as he tacks on his first point, 27-21.
Harrison Gaines beats three UCF defenders as Rob Belcour tips another ball.
His energy has been outstanding defensively. The first career start for the Quaker rookie. Rob Belcour hadn't even played in two of the three previous contests for Penn. Young, top of the arc, Sosa, Belcour blankets him on the defense. Baez near left point, top of the key to Young. 22 on the shot clock for UCF, ahead by 6. Far sideline right, Tyler. Baez above the arc in the middle of the floor. And there is Young, alive in the pass to Davis, that's deflected and knocked away by Jack Eggleston. Cam has it, the Quakers roll back left to right. Gaines, top of the key, stops near right corner. Harrison twists away from Young. Shut off right side of the lane, and Belcour hits from the outside in the near right corner. A three for Belcour, and Penn is now within three, 27-24, 5:27 to go in the first. And there's Baez. He nearly carried at the top of the arc. Young, far right, trying to get rid of Gaines. Off the glass, can't cash in. Ham collects the carom. Penn can tie or come within one. Gaines rumbles to the rack, the right hand teardrop counted for Harrison Gaines, and taking a timeout for UCF, it is Kirk Spiroff, the Golden Knights head coach, as the Quakers have ripped off a run of seven straight to come within one, 27-26, by the way, to go in the first.
Yeah, I love what Rob Belcour is doing. Harrison Gaines, he thought that the possession before where he finds Belcour in the corner, he thought he might force one up right there. Great patience, and Gaines, I got to tell you, has really given Penn a nice lift. Off the bench, getting the ball end-to-end.
Well,
and converting a couple of shots as well.
since it's that second guard spot that Glenn Miller is really trying to find a consistent presence there. We've seen Harrison Gaines in that starting role, Kevin Inge, Rob Belcourt coming in tonight as well.
But one of the things that we were talking about earlier was the 10 in their offense, and the half court was so content to be around the perimeter. Gaines has come in and given them a little bit more attacking, going at the basket. It's something that I think Zach Rosen can do a little bit more. He just hasn't done it too much tonight.
And it's been Penn's defense, Vince, that has kept the Quakers within striking distance.
A lot of one and done, Selke. They've missed some shots at the floor, and Penn has been there to rebound the ball very well tonight.
Will Weathers checking in, the freshman guard from New Orleans, and a lob pass underneath. Tyler over the shoulder from Davis is short. Rebound off the rim by the red and blue. They can take the lead. Iggy explodes near right baseline to the bucket, short on the side. Tapped out by Lewis. To Belcourt, the shot clock does not reset.
Very good, man. That's what I'm tapping you for.
Eggleston underneath draws the.
Pico Energy supports Penn Basketball on XPN. Pico Energy delivers electricity to 1.5 million customers and natural gas to 430,000 customers in southeastern Pennsylvania. Pico Energy. Independence Blue Cross supports Penn Basketball on XPN and for over 60 years has offered healthcare products and services designed to meet the changing healthcare needs of its customers. In Philadelphia, IBX provides health insurance coverage to more than 2.8 million people. For more information, it's IBX.com. Well, we are currently experiencing some technical difficulties with tonight's broadcast of Penn Basketball on 88.5 XPN. We are addressing those problems, and Penn Basketball will return shortly as soon as we have those problems worked out immediately on 88.5 XPN. We thank you for your patience, and you listen to Penn Basketball on 88.5 XPN. Thanks again.
for Penn. They lead it 30-29 because Cam Lewis converted on two free throws to put Penn in front, 3:25 to go in the first half. Penn with the ball, Bernardini to the bucket, and he draws the foul. And Richard Hook, thank you for bearing with us through those technical difficulties. Just leave it to a UCF administrator to knock us offline when Penn has a chance to take the lead.
Oh, Stuffy, there's nothing better than when, you know, when these technical glitches that come up during the course of our game come along and watching your blood start to boil.
Tyler Bernardini at the foul line.
A hug. Tyler draws one on the big fella. How do you say his name again, Stuffy?
Jakud Kuzmarek, and Bernardini can't get the bounce on free throw number one.
So Kuzmarek gets him on the baseline. And he's got some big arms on it, too.
Oh, he is a beefy boy. Bernardini sinks his second, giving him an even dozen on the night. 31-29, 10 by 2, 3:20 to go in the first half.
So Cam Lewis, much like South Florida, because he played great against Miami last year.
And there's Taylor to the pin. The right-handed runner rattles out, taps out to Penn. Belcour bursts back the other way. Good ball protection as he beat the press. James tapping right side. Up he goes. No good. And it is Kuzmarek who collects the count. Look at him waver down the floor. Baez a hole left side. To the rack. Too strong. Free ball. Near side. Crack down James. Bernardini one-on-one Weathers. To the cut. Count it now.
Same guy. Same guy. They call a charge on Tyler Bernardini. And there is no contact, Brian. They just showed the video. There is absolutely no contact. So Penn with a chance to extend their two-point lead. There's a one go against them. Now they need to maintain their composure.
And the Greatest American Hero just checked in for Florida. Remember that show back in the 70-something? You probably saw it on Nick at Night. It's P.J. Gaynor. Tyler Bernardini picked up his second personal foul, so he's been taken out. Taylor near left corner, along two, ties it up at 31 apiece with 2:30 to go in the first half. You said it, Vince. The Quakers need to maintain their cool right here as the intensity level has picked up. It's been a very spirited first stanza here in Orlando at the UCF Arena. Near right corner, Belcour short on the three, long rebound corralled by Baez, and UCF brings it back the other way. Taylor, the leading scorer for the Golden Knights, gets the top of the key to Baez, beats Belcour, Weathers in the near left corner, can't connect for a three, rebound underneath, Taylor's got it, lost it as Harrison Gaines took it away, but Gaines' foot, his left foot, was on the far right baseline.
One of those rebounds that Harrison Gaines needs to get. Taylor came from off the wing and just beat Gaines to the ball as he was going in about, throws it back in off Gaines, who does a pretty good job of catching it, but the official says foot on the baseline, Central Florida ball.
Weathers inbound to Taylor, who banks it off the back of the box for the Deuce, and he puts UCF in front 33-31 with a minute 50 to go in the opening half. As UCF has responded with a run of four straight, Gaines the other way, gets the foul, no finish, but Harrison Gaines heads to the foul line with a chance to tie this up, as that is the 10th team foul against the Golden Knights.
Pretty much the same move Harrison Gaines made the last time, the same bodily contact, but this time Gaines gets the foul call. We'll go to the line for two free throws.
Harrison Gaines on the night with four, looking for a fifth, and he doesn't get it. As that one, did he see something with the way he shoots the ball? It has a real funky rotation when it comes off his hands, like a sidewinding spin.
Yeah, that's exactly what I see, Brian. It does come off his hand. Yeah, that time it didn't. The first one was spinning almost in the wrong direction, like almost like he's trying to throw a curveball. That time he had better rotation, better result.
Penn trims the deficit to one as Gaines gets his second, 33-32, a minute 30 to go in the first half. Weathers feeds it far right at the point to Baez. In the far right corner, pump faking a Taylor. Top the key, Baez, three, way too strong. And Cam Lewis leaps up for a big board. Penn with a field goal goes back in front. Belcour ignites near right baseline in the lane, looking for Lewis. Loose ball underneath, and it's last touch by Penn.
Belcour got himself caught up in the air right there. There's going a little hot sauce on it to Cam Lewis. And Cam's chirping away with big Kenrick Zonervan
Cam was really given an opportunity to solidify his status as a starter at the beginning of this campaign. It went away, but he's playing well tonight. And right there at Zondervan, capitalizing on a mismatch for two, 35-32, UCF by three, 57 seconds to go in the first. Lewis on the right block. Far left corner, Iggy for three, well short off the iron, long rebound to Taylor as UCF runs back the other way. Taylor trying to get past Gaines, kick out top of the arc, Weathers. Weathers through traffic in the paint, and an offensive charge. Call it against the Golden Knights.
I couldn't quite see the official because we were screened off right there, but it was a
ample opportunity to give a little payback action
just
right there.
Just what you think happens, because that's the way the officials have worked tonight.
It doesn't actually have to happen on the court.
You don't necessarily need to see it.
Then with the ball, there is a 7-second differential between the game and shot clock. 34 to play, 27 to shoot for Penn. Gaines at the foul line. A push-off by Gaines. So UCF will get the rock with the shot clock turned off, ahead by three. A chance to add some insurance going into the half.
So what should have been a last shot or close to it by the Quakers is a chance to take a little more momentum into the locker room now. UCF gets the opportunity, and it's going to be very important right here that Penn's defense is solid.
Penn has held a UCF squad to 35 minutes so far for the opening 19 minutes, 30 seconds. The Golden Knights coming into this tilt, posting an average of 86.8 points in their four previous home games. They have the ball now. Romska, far right point to Sosa. Check that, Baez. Baez back to Gaynor at the far right point. Romska at the UCF logo in the middle of the floor. Taylor at the far right point. 14 to play in the first.
Tough matchup for Belcourt. Taylor a little quick side to side. If Belcourt can keep him in front of him.
Romska resets with 7 to go in the first. Romska far right in the corner. Taylor for three. It was partially blocked by Lewis. Ball goes to Belcourt, second left. Iggy puts it up at the horn. Just missed. A little bit short.
It had the direction. But great rotation out by Cam Lewis right there. We talked about Rob Belcourt and the tough matchup he had with Taylor. Taylor runs him off a couple of screens on the baseline. Looks like he's going to be open. Then all of a sudden, big Cam Lewis gets his big paw up there, deflects it, and 35-32 at half.
The Penn Quakers trailing by just a trace spot, and they were down by as many as 9 points here in the opening stanza. But you know what has been great to see, Vince, about this Penn team in the first 20 minutes of play?
The fight.
They didn't back down.
The
you know,
fight.
UCF came out and tried to sock them a little bit early, but the Quakes followed right back, and they had a counter, and we haven't seen that necessarily from this group so far this campaign.
Tyler Bernardini scored it well. Kevin Iggy comes off the bench, gives Glenn Miller a lift. Harrison Gaines comes off the bench, gives a lift. Cam Lewis gives a very big lift off the bench. And I can't say enough about the play of Rob Belcourt in the first half. Not going to have a ton of stats, but he did a lot of good things, especially on the defensive end. And he saved a couple offensive possessions with good catches off of tough passes.
20 minutes in the books. The Quakers head into intermission down by 3, 35-32 to UCF in the opening round of the UCF Holiday Classic. On the United Healthcare halftime report, Vince Kern and I catch up with Penn Director of Athletics, Steve Bilski. That's on the other side. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on 88.5 FCN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
United Healthcare supports Penn Basketball on XPN. United Healthcare serves more than 26 million individual consumers and provides high-quality care for more than 535,000 physicians and care professionals while partnering with over 4,700 hospitals. Details available at uhc.com.
Street Noon Concert is this Friday, January 2nd, from World Cafe Live, 88.5 XDN, and NPR Music presents the first Street Noon Session of 2009 with Winterpills. Winterpills from Northampton, Massachusetts, are on tour in support of their new album, Central Chambers. They'll be here this Friday, January 2nd, for Free at Noon. Hear it on your radio at xpn.org or join us at World Cafe Live. Details on our website, xpn.org. Support for the XPN Great Noon Concert Series provided by Comcast and XPN members. Our next Great Noon Concert is this Friday, January 2nd, from World Cafe. This is 88.5 WSPN Philadelphia, 88.7 WSPH Middletown, York and Lancaster, 90.5 WKHS Wharton, Baltimore, 99.7 Harrisburg, 104.9 in the Lehigh Valley, Y-Rock on HD2, and worldwide at XPN.org. Member-supported radio from the University of Pennsylvania.
Bank of America supports Penn Basketball on XPN. Bank of America offers convenient banking and ATM locations throughout the Philadelphia region. For a listing of the branches nearest you, log on to bankofamerica.com.
It's the XPN Quaker Halftime Report, presented by United Healthcare. With a full stat recap and feature interviews, once again with Vince Kerr and Brian Seltzer.
Halftime here at the UCF Arena on the campus of Central Florida in Orlando, Florida, alongside Vince Kerr and Brian Seltzer here on the United Healthcare Halftime Report. And joining us for an interview of a much different tone from this time last year, Director of Athletics at Penn, Steve Bilkey. Steve, happy holidays to you and a great new year.
Thank you, and to all the listeners, happy new year, and let's hope we have a good one in 2009.
Well, Penn had a 24-day layoff, and it seems like they found some spunk. They did back down from the spike to the first 20 minutes of play, and that's a real encouraging sign.
Yeah, I think it started on the defensive end, really, if you think about it. That's probably the best 20 minutes of defense that I've seen this team play, certainly all year. And defense usually, you know, on offense. And so it was good. I think we played a really hard, generally good 20 minutes of basketball. Certainly a lot better than last year.
As we make this trip down here, an important opportunity to spread the tentacles of this program and the reach of the athletics department. But one kid who came out tonight really seized an opportunity. Rob Velcourt, the first start of his career, the freshman out of Lake Forest, Illinois, and he came out and he really set the tone with that defense and got things going.
Yeah, I think he has real good defensive instinct. As a freshman, that's really good to see. And you know, he knows what's going on the court. He was guarding their best player, who's a really good ball player. And he made him work for the time he was playing them. But I think the whole team set the tone defense. I know they've been working on it. And I was pleased. I mean, it was a good half of basketball. The Central Florida is a good basketball team.
They are, and especially at home. They came into tonight averaging 86.8 points in their four previous home games, and Penn holds in the 35 through the first half, down by just three. You're at all the games at the Plaster, home or away, and we know that as of late, Tyler Bernardini kind of has been in a little bit of a scuffle, but he's come out a dozen points in the first half, and did you ever go through a period like that when you were a player? What's the most important thing when you try to break out of a funk?
Well, I mean, the obvious thing is to keep shooting when you're shooting. I'm sure everybody's told them that, but that doesn't really help you very much when you're in a slump, because generally when a good shooter's in a slump, he's doing something a little off. Maybe he's not following through. Maybe he's not using his legs enough. And, you know, you don't want it to become a mental thing, but you know, the best thing to do is not listen to anybody. The second best thing is to continue to have good shots. And I think even though he hasn't shot well percentage-wise, I don't think he's taken a really too many bad shots. They all come within the offense. They're all shots that you know he can make. And, you know, over his career, you know, he's going to have slumps, but you certainly want him shooting.
Tyler and the Quakers coming in with a 1-6 record, some of the sluggish start for the squad this season. What have you seen so far? What do you make of it?
Well, I really expected that this is going to be a work in progress, and what you don't know is how long a work of progress is going to be. And you're relying a lot of young players. I mean, freshmen that are 6 or 7 games into their career, I don't care what kind of fanfare they have or how skilled they were in the high school level, it's a big adjustment. And you know, compared against when I played, I had the benefit of having a freshman team, and that's really a shame that freshman teams don't exist anymore, because it really allows a good transition to college and understanding the concepts that the coaches are doing, and these guys are just being thrown right into it. So at some point, what you want to see happen is a chemistry developing amongst the players. I think you hear a little bit tonight, you know, some confidence building with good performances, but you really can't predict when that's going to happen when you're relying on so many freshmen and sophomores.
And obviously everyone knows what the standard is at Penn, but maybe sometimes things get overlooked. If you go back to that 2004-2005 season, the first in the run of three for this club, that year there was that stretch of five straight losses that began against Temple. There was the trip to San Francisco, UIC, Ryder, and then what did Penn do? They won 16 of the last 17 games. So it's important to see progress during the non-conference, and the best sign so far was that it seemed like the defense really picked up in that opening period.
It did. It's dangerous to compare teams. You know, you really don't want to do that. Circumstances are different. Players are different. So, you know, I don't really like talking about the 2004 team or any other teams that get off the... I really want to look at this team. And the thing I think that is really, to be fair, is I don't remember a squad that had to rely on freshmen and sophomores so much as leadership positions. And then because of the injuries, the depth has really taken a toll, especially up front. So, you know, it is early in the season. What I like the most about tonight's first half was everybody who played contributed with a lot of hustle, good defense, taking it to the hoop. We're still going to have trouble scoring. This is not going to be a team that shoots very well. But you know, what we're going to need is whether it's nine guys playing or ten guys playing, everyone has to go in there and contribute. And this is the best half we've had as far as that's concerned.
Speaking with Penn Director of Athletics, Steve Bilski, halftime, Penn and UCF, the Quakers trailing 35-32. So these trips, there's obviously a purpose behind them, not just for the program, for the department as a whole. How critical are these ventures going out, reconnecting and fortifying those connections with alumni and fans of the team?
Well, I think people love to see Penn basketball. Wherever we are in the country, we always have people come out. I mean, the tradition is so long and so vast that a lot of times this is the only chance that people get to see us play, and it connects with the school. And I think that I look at the athletic program as we're ambassadors for the university, and you know, we not only represent the athletic focus, but we really represent Penn. And so people enjoy watching us play. It always gives them a good feeling. You know, our teams always conduct themselves well on the road, and that gives people a lot of pride. So it's an uplifting feeling, and then if you play well, which is what you hope to do, you know, it's just going to make it a really satisfying trip.
January 1st, just a few short days away, and this is really when the campaign for Penn Athletics is going to kick in big time.
Well, the fundraising part has really started. We're in the third year, and we're off to a tremendous start. We've raised over $76 million, which is way ahead of even the most optimistic expectations. And because of that, some of the facilities development will be able to start either earlier or at least on time. And the first project will be the renovation of Franklin Field, the George White Pavilion, which is going to give us a state-of-the-art weight facility, another fitness center. It's going to improve our training room and ultimately some domino effects of other things we can do in Franklin Field. And it will be the kickoff event. And then probably starting within the latter part of 2009, we'll begin developing the postal properties in the fields and outdoor tennis courts. And we have some other projects that we're very much in the infancy stage now. So, you know, in the end, when this is all done, the physical plant, the facilities of Penn is going to be second to none, really, certainly in the Ivy League, but a lot of other urban schools, too. And that's just going to have a tremendous effect, not only on the opportunities that the athletes will have to participate, but for recruiting and just the whole stature of the program.
Any insight on the financial aid situation and how that's playing out?
Oh, it's a work in progress. I mean, the schools are very, very quiet and almost secretive about what they're doing with financial aid, you know, specifically Harvard and Princeton. And so there's really not a protocol that can be established to say, well, this is what they're doing, so either mimic it or match it or do something like it. And I think it's going to take a little bit of time before we really understand that. And then hopefully we're going to be able to continue to be aggressive. Penn has been very aggressive in the last few years on our own financial aid programs. And, you know, starting next year, every student that goes to Penn who is on need will not have to take out a loan. Here's the referee that walked by here, maybe the worst call I've seen in my 25 years.
You know, I forgot to ask you about that. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that. It is, you know, obviously we tell the story of this game through a particular Penn perspective, wearing our red and blue goggles every now and then, but to a certain point you call it like you see it, and what we saw wasn't all that great.
Oh, there was a real turning point play because Tyler came in for what really was clearly a three-point play. He made the basket, and I think we were up 2 points at the time, and for reasons that we can't figure out, not only take away the basket, called an offensive foul, and they came right down and scored. And So that happens when you're on the road. I think it's part of the growing experience. But it might have been about the worst call I've ever seen.
All right. 21 and a half games to go now in this season for Penn. Steve Bilski's keys from the Big Five and Penn Athletics Hall of Famer for a successful Penn men's basketball season.
Well, I think it's going to have to be better defense and chemistry developing on the team. And again, I don't know what that's going to translate in the win and loss record or how we do in the Ivy League, but what you really want to have developed this year, especially with the younger guys, the freshmen and sophomore, you want to see a chemistry developed where they play well together. And so that you use that as a springboard into next year. I mean, obviously we want to do well this year, but this is going to be it's a work in progress. We'll be bringing in some new players next year, and I think in the years ahead, I think we're going to be a real good basketball team.
We might need to do something about those websites out there, too. 35-32, UCF on top of Penn, second half about to start. Steve Bilski, thanks so much for the insights and time, and a Happy New Year to you once again.
Thank you, Brian. Vince, Happy New Year to both of you guys.
Steve Bilski, Director of Athletics at Penn. We will have the second half coming your way after this from the UCF Arena here on 88.5 XPN, the Penn Sports Network.
Qdoba Mexican Grill supports Penn Basketball on XPN. Qdoba Mexican Fair for dine-in, takeout, or catering. Its menu features burritos, quesadillas, tacos, taco salads, and nachos. Qdoba with 8 Philadelphia locations, including 40th and Locust Street on the Penn campus. For the most up-to-date information on Penn Basketball, visit the official University of Pennsylvania Athletics website at PennAthletics.com.
Second stanza just about ready to tip off here at the UCF Arena, capacity 10,000 on the campus of UCF in Orlando, Florida. We're joined by Vince Kern, Brian Seltzer, a nice chat with our Director of Athletics, Steve Bilski, and you think that man doesn't want to win?
Oh, my God, how about, I love it. We always laugh, we always joke about how Ed Rendell tries to get one call a game from the officials by going apoplectic in his section, which I absolutely love about him. After the interview that you just finished with Steve, he's talking to the officials who are standing in front of him. I think about the charge call on Tyler in the first half. That was probably the most blatantly missed call of the first half, but you got to love it when your AD is working for you a little bit.
Vin Mann, as you take a look at that first half box line, what do you see that stands out?
Well, the first thing that stands out to me, 15-15 on the boards right now. So the Quakers are holding their own. And they are rebounding the ball very well. I thought that Cam Lewis came in. They have him down for 3 rebounds. I would have thought he had a couple more than that, but he was a very good presence there. The fact that Penn has 7 steals says to me they're getting out, they're tipping a lot of balls, and they're making a lot of those effort plays. So those are things that jumped out. The other thing that jumped out, Jermaine Taylor with 16. I never would have guessed he had 16 in the first half. A very quiet 16.
Penn with the ball as they move from right to left to start the second half. Operating the offense is Zach Rosen. Nice look to Eggleston on the left block as he brings Penn within one, 35-34.
That time Brennan Bosell has the angle for the post feed. Jack does a good job walking his man up the lane, creating the angle and getting the layup.
Young, top of the arc, eyed down by Bernardini. Far sideline left to Romsa, who pitches a pass on the left block to Zondervan. He has Romps the right side of the lane to Davis in the near right corner. Near right point, Young, 13 to shoot. Quakers trying to clamp down on D. And there's Young beating Bernardini. Zondervan in the lane, top of the arc to Romsa, ricochets through a hole and records 2 points.
Zach Rosen bites on the up fake. I don't know that you necessarily need to do that with Romps with 35 feet from the basket. Gets himself a little off rhythm right there. Romps able to get it all the way to the chin. So decent rotation by Penn. Romsa has to make a tough shot.
Belcour in the near left corner. Penn trailing by 3, a minute, 10 seconds into the second half. Rosen in the near left corner. Zach darts, top of the arc, stops. Looking inside, nothing there. The Tyler Bernardini lost the ball off his foot. 10 on the shot clock. Now 7. Belcour to Votel, right baseline. Jack left side of the ball, swatted away. It's loose to Rosen at the horn. Can't hit. And the rebound is hauled in by Tony Davis. Back the other way. Zondervan strides inside and lays in an easy 2 points as UCF stretches it to 5 points there, lead 39-34.
And a little out of balance right there after that ball got kicked around loose. Zach Rosen ends up getting it in the corner.
Nobody rotates back. Zondervan gets down the floor, gets the deuce.
Votel, far right baseline, drifts out to the perimeter, hands off to Bernardini, a long two. He can't tack it on. Tapped out by Eggleston to Rosen, a fresh 35. Jack inside Votel, lost the ball in route to the rack, and it's picked up by Zondervan. UCF trying to set the tone early to begin the second, as Davis has Wampsa in the near right corner. Zondervan top of the arc to Young, three on the left block. Davis ducks under Eggleston to rock the rim for the jam. 41-34, the advantage, 7 points for UCF.
Not sure if Jack Eggleston got screened on the backside right there, but he was way late coming over. Davis just let him fly by and gets the easy dunk.
Botel stops left side of the lane, right high post. Eggleston count the jumper as the big fella shows a little range. He has all 4 points in the second half, 41-36.
Very important for Penn to come out of the locker room. They've had a couple of stretches this year where they didn't do that, and games end up getting away from them. This time UCF getting out early, Penn looking to answer.
Davis drives past Botel, and Eggleston gets the bounce to bottom home on the left block, 43-36. Back up to 7 for UCF, 3 gone by in the second.
Davis credit for a tough shot right there. Just splits the double team, gets one up on the rim, and happens to fall.
Bernardini stops near left baseline, back behind, above the arc to Eggleston. Far right, Belcourt on the wing. Belcourt, near side, left the point to Bernardini. Tyler lobs at the Votel, left block, draws a double team. Top of the key, a long two on the way from Eggleston. Off the iron, tapped around by Votel, still alive, but it's snared by UCF. Rompsa barges to the bucket, nearly walks with it, and Davis has the pass and puts it in the hands of Young, top of the key. Rompsa, far left point, plays catch with Young, top of the arc, to Taylor now, above the arc in the middle of the floor. 43-36, UCF by 7, 16 and a quarter to go in this contest. Winner to play Chicago State tomorrow night, and a foul out on the floor, and that one going against Jack Eggleston. And for Jack, that's his second. And that's good news for Penn because Rosen and Bernardini each with two. And they were in and around the action. First team foul for Penn of this second half. UCF will inbound along the near right baseline, moving from left to right. A lob pass to Tyler in the near right corner. Taylor at the near right point. Gainer, top yard, go cutting. Taylor lost the ball and a foul.
Jack Eggleston, a split second late from the steal. So that's number three on Jack. He almost beats Taylor to the spot, but Taylor does a good job of, we talk about it all the time, wide receivers running through the football, running through the route, coming back to meet the ball. Taylor goes the whole way and just beats Jack by a split second, and unfortunately for him, it's foul number three. He comes out along with Brennan Votel, Connor Turley, and Cam Lewis in.
Cam Lewis had a solid first half with 3-3. Taylor reverses left to right to tack 2 points on the board to make it 45-36 as UCF matches its largest lead of the night of 9 with 16:01 to go in the second.
I don't think that lob gets there if Jack Eggleston and Brennan Votel are in the game. You had two guys who were coming in the game. They hadn't gotten their feet underneath them yet, and it happened so quickly kind of before they got ready. And the next thing you know, 2 points for UCF and a 9-point lead.
Taylor now has 20 points on the evening, and for Taylor, it's his sixth contest where he has either reached or surpassed that total. He has done so in now back-to-back games after tacking on 21 on the 22nd of December against Valpo and Visto Carr, UCF. 10-4 at scoring 10 out of intermission.
Guess how many possessions UCF has had in the second half, Brian?
What did you tell me, Vin, man?
I'm going to tell you, they have 5, Brian. Guess how many times they've scored coming out in the second half?
I would gamble 5.
5. 5 for 5 coming out.
So you can't even sneak that type of ass past the college graduate.
There you go.
16:01 to go in the second half, 45-36. UCF on top, and we saw nice determination from Penn in the first half, and so a whole lot of game left to be played, and you just want to see the Quakers continue that persistent effort.
Punch, counter punch. Now they have the counter punch. It would be nice to see the Quakers punch first from time to time, and it's one of those things that is, as they grow and mature as a team and all that, they will do that in a game like this where you're on a tough opponent. On their home floor, it's a little tougher, but now they got a counter punch.
And now Harrison Gaines is in for Zach Rosen.
Gaines, Belcourt, Lewis, Turley, and Bernardini, the five on the floor for the Quakers. Can drive foul line, and he takes a walk as he couldn't settle his feet.
It looked great until the very end. I mean, you look at it, and Campbell is not a guy you want 35 feet away counting and trying to get to the rim. Looked like he was going to be successful, then as the defenders came to him, he got a little happy feet, and now they're going to bust a move here.
15:49. I was around for this one, believe it or not. 15:49 to go in the second half. Timeout on the floor to score. UCF leading 10 by 9, 45-36. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on 88.5 SPM. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Holiday Inn Philadelphia Historic District supports Penn Basketball on SPM. Holiday Inn Philadelphia Historic District is located in Old City, Philadelphia at 4th and Arch Street. Every day, you hear our on-air hosts reading messages from our variety of local businesses and nonprofit organizations that support WXPN. These groups understand the value of the XPN audience and have decided to make public radio a part of their marketing effort. If you would like to learn what these folks already know, go to xpn.org/business support for information about how supporting XPN can benefit your business.
Hi, this is head coach Glenn Miller, and you're listening to Quaker Basketball on 88.5 XPN, the Penn Sports Network.
UCF from left to right with the ball and a nine-point lead. The Quakers looking for defensive stand. Tyler, nearly walked with the ball, has Gaynor at the far left point on the perimeter, covered by Connor Turley. Robson swings it near right at the point to Baez. Baez, top of the arc, Tyler, far left on the perimeter, to Robson. Taylor, in the lane, kick out Tyler near right. He shoots it way too strong. Offensive rebound, Taylor. He cleans up with two more points. And that gives UCF their first double-digit edge of the night, 47-36. Their lead is 11.
That's a killer. You get a possession like that where UCF takes a tough shot at the end of the shot clock. You can't clean up the defensive rebound. They get an easy setback.
Bernardini trying to fight his way inside along the near left baseline, and maybe the officiating crew got a little piece of Steve Bilski's mind there at the half.
A little payback right there. We talked about it. Tyler, he's leaning a little bit, looking to try and draw that contact. And as I said in the first half, I don't think that UCF has a shot blocker out there. So I think he should be a little more confident getting the ball to the rim. They get the foul ball there.
Bernardini can't get the front end to drop as it bounces off Dorian and out. But another one coming. Kevin Agee checking in along with Jack Eggleston. Cam Lewis goes out along with Rob Belcourt as Bernardini is shooting into the undersized student section here at UCF. Holiday break still on.
They're all here.
As Bernardini connects on his second.
Coach Gallagher said when he got here at 2:30 the other night, he pulled up at the dorm next to our hotel, and he said there are about 400 drunken college students just getting after it. So they're here. They just choose not to come
to
the game.
I just want to try to imagine the students here conducting themselves like they do on the great campus of our prestigious university. Bronson, far right wing, Taylor tries a three, and he's got it to fall through. 50-37, a 13-point lead for UCF as they are starting to pull away from Penn with 14:28 to go in the second. Tyler Bernardini, top of the arc to Eggleston. Jack near left at the point to Kevin Agee. Quakes need a score. They've only had 5 points in the second half. Bernardini, far right baseline, draws a double team. Top of the key three attempt. Eggleston gets the bounce to bottom home. Jack Eggleston, a solid evening for him as he has 9, 10 within 10. Tyler exchanges with Baez above the arc in the middle of the floor. Baez to Rapsa, far left point, eyed down by Agee. Taylor pump fakes, goes right side of the lane and backs it out to Baez. 17 to shoot for UCF. Far left wing Rapsa tries to roll it through the wickets of Tyler Bernardini. The red and blue sophomore guard gets a kickball called against him.
No reset of the shot clock, Chelsea, so 15
for UCF. Watch that live again. P.J. Gaynor screening for Baez.
Bromster will inbound on the far left baseline. UCF up 50-40 with 13:45 to go. Top of the arc, Gaynor. 10 on the shot clock for the Golden Knights as they've got to hurry. Bromster at the far left point. 5 on the shot clock as Bromster looks up and realizes it's coming to the foul line. Can't hit the jumper. Long rebound to Taylor. As he delivers the deuce on the right one.
Talk about it again. Second time. Bad shot at the end of the shot clock, and Taylor gets the rebound for a stick back.
52-40, a dozen points, the lead for UCF. Curly three on the block, way too strong. Iggy follows and count it for the Quaker senior.
Kevin Iggy with a tough take right there. Connor Curley a little slow getting that one in the air, gets it blocked with Kevin Iggy. Showing some toughness.
52-42, 13:03 to go in the second stanza. Romps at top of the arc, left side lane behind the back pass to Taylor. In the near right corner, Baez back to Taylor, fires for three, can't flush from the outside. Eggleston battles Bernardini for the board. The red and blue back right to left. Far sideline right, Iggy for three, off the back of the rim. And with the rebound, it's Roxa who is fouled by Bernardini. And his personal total on the night matches the number three on the back of his jersey.
Tyler a little frustrated right now at a possession, a couple of possessions ago where he cut back door, thought he was open, let loose with some screams and some words I can't repeat on the air. And then that one right there, a little frustration, foul at the end. Kevin Iggy with an open look, not able to knock it down. Tyler trying to run that one down, not able to get there, and ends up giving Bronson a little shove.
Belcour and Lewis in for Turley and Bernardini. Sosa, trapped in the far left corner, has Baez in the far left point. Back to Isaac Sosa, who can't gather the ball, and he costs it up to the Quakes in the far left corner.
Another tip ball by Belcour, though, and that causes that possession. Sosa not able to recover. And Belcour doing it for 10 defensively.
Penn trying to get this one back down to a single-digit deficit. Gaines, far right point to Belcour, top of the arc, Eggleston, they swing it near left on the wing to Iggy. Top of the key, Gaines nearly lost the ball. Ronson picks him up. Gaines, far right corner to Belcour, right side of the lane, top of the arc, Iggy. Iggy, left side, leans in, short, and with the rebound, it's Zondervan for the Golden Knights. Ronson in the near right corner, Sosa, who backs it out and has Baez. To Ronson, far left corner. Pump fakes, goes baseline. Kick out top of the key, Baez. Sosa, baseline right, Davis, and it's an offensive foul.
Good job by Sam Lewis. He gets out to the corner to get a hand up on Ronson and then gets all the way back to the other side of the floor past the rim to draw that charge. Sam Lewis, nice job on the backside of that Quaker defense.
11:43 to go in the second half. Timeout on the floor. The score, Penn trailing UCF by 10, 52-42. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on 88.5 XPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Supports Penn Basketball on XPN. Chili's Restaurant is located at 38th and Chestnut Streets and is open for lunch and dinner. Chili's Restaurant, located in University City.
Hi, I'm Johnny Meister, and every Saturday night starting at 7, I play the blues for you on XPN. The blues is the deepest root of America's popular music, and on the Blues Show, we've got blues from every decade from the 1920s to the present decade, whatever it's called. From town to country, solo to big band, Bessie Smith to B.B. King, we have the blues Saturday night starting at 7 here on XPN.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
As the Penn Quakers trail the UCF Knights 52-42 on the opening night of the 5th annual UCF Holiday Classic. The program that prevails in this tilt will go on to clash with Chicago State.
Where's Chicago State, Brian?
I want to say the Windy City, but I've got to check my geography.
Penn with the ball, right to left.
Gaines, top the arc, Belcour. Lewis above the arc in the middle of the floor now. Lewis hands off the game, stays to the foul line. Eggleston, top of the arc. Good from the outside. That makes it 52-45. A 7-point game with 11:23 to go.
Jack Eggleston didn't get a lot of shots in the first half, now with 12. And hit two big three-pointers there to get this to a single-digit lead.
Eggleston came into the game 4-16 from beyond, 2-for-3 from the outside so far tonight. At the foul line, by
it out.
Touch pass, a block by Lewis. Penn comes up with a game. Glide, near side, left. Jack, thinking three at the top of the key. Iggy on the near left baseline. Kick out. Belcourt, top of the arc. Far right baseline, Lewis. Spins, ducks under, short. Follows his own miss, gets the foul, and Cam Lewis will head to the front.
Cam Lewis back to the line where he is 3-for-4. And Cam looked a little shooter as he got that ball in the back there. He decided he was taking that one to the 10, gets it blocked, but quick off the floor again. And is going to get two free throws.
Silty, you got to help me out here. You're a little closer in age to some of these kids.
Ross's jaw beard that he's sporting right there. Is that in style?
What do they call that? The chin strap?
No, it is.
Now, and then the other one is the guy that looks like the great American hero.
That's
Sam Lewis.
First.
Now 4-for-5. A.J. Tyler with the A.J. in script on the back of his arms. Is that...
You that's have good that? Work by him.
Well, I don't know whether you have that on the back of your arms. I'm just curious.
I think creative stylistic cards is a major here.
Lewis, his second one off the back of the iron. The bounce is brought in by Gene Michel Yodio for UCF, seeing his first minute. So the score remains 52-46, come down by 6 with 10:39 to go. Ronson, the top of the arc. Tyler, near side, right for 3. High arcing, and that is a pretty ugly air ball.
Tyler knew as soon as he let that one go that it was off, and he missed it by about 3 feet. He went, let it go, and started chasing it, and it hit nothing. Jean Michel, isn't that a fragrance of some kind?
I don't know.
He doesn't look fresh to me.
Gaines, far right, point, Penn trailing by 6. Iggy spots up a 3. Can't connect, and the long rebound is tracked down by Robson. It was a good look for Kev. Far left, Sosa, a switch from the outside. 55-46 to make this a 9-point edge. Eggleston brings in the outlet pass beneath the bucket, pass deflected as he was double-teamed, and Robson comes up and beats Belcourt with a behind-the-back dribble. Far left corner, Sosa for 3, got it again, and that is a huge swing. 12 points, back up to a dozen for the Golden Knights. 58-46 with 9:45 remaining in the second half. Glenn Miller takes the timeout.
The killer right there. 6 points with the ball. Kevin Iggy gets a very good look at it. Not able to knock it down. And then Sosa, two quickies in transition coming the other way. And all that work he did to get it back to a manageable number right out the window.
Sosa came in tonight averaging 9 points per game. And he was kept silent in the first stanza. But he just broke two biggies from the outside. He's now 24 of 48 from the perimeter on the air, and that's a pretty darn good percentage of 48%. So now the Quakers still have time to work with, 9:45 remaining in regulation, but in UCF, 10 for 14 in the second half from the floor. So that is 71.4%, Brian. I could do that math in my head. But if you're trying to make a comeback, one of the things you need to do is make stops. And that's just way too good offensive efficiency. UCF coming off a contest on the 22nd against Valpo where they shot a season-best 63.3% from the floor. Again, they're 4-0 here on their home floor and average 86.8 points per game on those four home tilts. Tyler Bernardini head-faking to the far-right baseline. Pick out Iggy, far-right point. 20 on the shot clock for the Quakers. Eggleston, far right corner, fires for 3, got it again from the outside as Jack Eggleston, perimeter performance, keeping the Quakers in this, they're down by 9, 58-49.
Somebody might want to put a hand up on Jack Eggleston, he's got 3 open looks, banged down all 3 of them.
Robson, traps along the near right sideline, guarded by Gaines, dribbles behind the back, he has Tyler near right point, back to Robson, did Jack? He goes through stretches where he's really great from the outside, and it's an option for Penn. He's been that way tonight. Yodio struggling free of Lewis, and he throws it away. Cam's defensive presence, very solid this season.
Very strong, and Yodio had no idea what to do with the ball out there. Whoever, I didn't see who threw it to him, but whoever did should be taken out of the game, because there was nothing good that was going to happen with him having the ball that far from the basket.
Jermaine Taylor checking back in for Yodio. 10 with the ball, down by 9. They have scrapped back to within a single digit. James, top of the arc. Harrison at the near left point. He goes far right on the wing to Tyler. Stops, top of the key. Back to Jack, far right point. Right side of the lane, Lewis. Once it gets it with the right-handed runner. 58-51.
Good strong post-up, good post-speed. Cam Lewis, very aggressive tonight.
Taylor fires for three and flushes. Nothing but cotton from the outside on the near right wing. As a timeout is called by UCF Kirk Spiros, as UCF has reestablished their 10-point lead of 61-51, 8:28 to go.
And Glenn Miller not happy. It looked like he was initially not happy with Jack Eggleston on the closeout. He's given it to Tyler Bernardini pretty good. And he just can't leave Taylor that wide open.
That is something that Tyler Bernardini is consistently working on, his defensive performance, as his rebounding has improved this year, trying to smooth out all aspects of his defensive game. But Taylor, he's a very solid player. He's a Conference USA Player of the Year candidate for a reason. I mean, if he gets anything close to an open look, he's going to knock down the shot. He's the best three-point shooter on this team.
He's long, he's athletic, he can shoot it. He is a scorer. He's a nice player.
Gives you a good reason to believe why scouts from the Orlando Magic are here tonight. They're probably going to get a lot of looks at him. Kevin Iggy at the near left point, 10 trailing by 10. 61-51, 8:10 to go in the second. Iggy accelerates, stops far right baseline. Eggleston, far right wing. Kicks it. Near side, left the game. 10 on the shot clock for the Quakers. Far side right, Iggy, with Sosa in his face, and the pass is picked off, intended for Eggleston. Swiping it away is Rafa.
Kevin had two shots that he missed, and that third one presented itself right there, so he got a little gunshot.
Drew Taylor's feeling it. The turnaround on the right wing makes it a 12-point game again, 63-51.
A tough matchup for Bernardini right there. Taylor just a little too athletic, a little too quick on the jump, and he is shooting with a lot of confidence.
Penn needs to ratchet up their defense and get the offense going, but not going to help them much there as UCF forces the turnover. Bernardini lost the ball. Sosa, three near right wing. The high arcing three, no good. Long rebound out to Rasta.
And that resets the shot clock at 35 with 17 to go. That's a killer right there, because when Rasta gets in that deep, if Penn gets that rebound, it's a layup or a dunk on the other end. Rasta somehow comes up with it. Oh, and they call Cam Lewis for a touch foul away from the basket. I still like to play Cam trying to make something happen.
Lewis trying to pry the ball away out of the palms of Tony Davis. 7:09 remaining in regulation. Timeout on the floor to score. UCF leading Penn 63-51. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on 88.5 SPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Abner's Cheesesteaks supports Penn Basketball on SPN. For more than two decades, Abner's has been an integral on-campus establishment, serving its famous cheesesteaks and fresh garden salad. Abner's Cheesesteaks is located in University City at 3818 Chestnut Street.
Our next Street Noon concert is this Friday, January 2nd, from World Cafe Live, 88.5 XPN, and SPN Music presents the first written session of 2009 with Winter Pills. Winter Pills from Northampton, Massachusetts, are on tour in support of their new album, Central Chambers. They'll be here this Friday, January 2nd, for free at noon. Hear it on your radio at xpn.org or join us at World Cafe Live. Details on our website, xpn.org. Support for the XPN Free at Noon concert series provided by Comcast and XPN members.
7 minutes and 9 seconds to go in the opening round, second game of the UCF Holiday Classic. Chicago State chomped down on Campbell earlier on, and UCF is trying to play their way into a third straight championship final appearance in this event. As Taylor in the far left corner gives UCF a 14-point lead on the three, as Taylor had a quiet 16 in the
33 now, Brian.
That's a loud 33. As UCF is starting to inch away from the Penn Quakers, who hung tough for about two-thirds of this game. Tyler Bernardini, along the far-right baseline, draws the foul against UCF with 6:44 to go.
Looks like Bernardini might have got screened on the other end. This gives Taylor that open three. And that time, aggressively taking it to the 10, gets the foul call.
Off the inbounds, Brennan Votel. A nice little look, goes to the bank and cashes in. He has 4 points, and he makes it a 13-point game, 66-53. Taylor, who has awoken and shot without a conscience this second half.
So how do you not go back to him? He's on fire right now.
Taylor in the far left alley to the left baseline, draws the foul as he puts up the shot. It's a 4 on Tyler. It is indeed. As Rob Belcourt gets ready to check in and relieve Tyler Bernardini.
We saw the kids from Chicago State had 40 in the first game, so it looks like Taylor's trying to get his own 40 here.
In the first half, Tyler Bernardini with 12 points, but just one here in the second, as UCF made the defensive adjustment on him to try and secure him a little bit more, as Taylor can't hit his first free throw. As another one coming, it remains a 13-point game, 66-53, 6:20 left to play. Taylor's second one is a swish, 34 for Jermaine Taylor, 67-53. Frozen with the ball for Penn at the far right point. Takes it near left in the corner to Gaines. Gaines guarded by Sosa. Gets the hole, stops in lane, pops up, can't hit the jumper, and it rattles out to Weathers. Weathers to Sosa near right. Penn had pulled within 6 points, but Sosa connected on consecutive three-pointers to stretch the lead back to 12 for UCF, as the Golden Knights really tried to put the clamp on the Quakers there. Sosa pivots on the far left baseline, has Weathers' far left point. They have Zondervan, the left side of the lane, over Votel, off the side of the glass. Loose ball, gobbled up by Gaynor, and he gets 2 points. 69-53. Back the other way, Penn lost the ball. A turnover by Rosen, as Taylor blows right past him. Spins into the lane, short on the shot. Ball corralled by Brennan Votel. Gaines back the other way, 3-on-2 Penn. Gaines, the right-handed runner, as it pops out. Brennan Votel with the board and fouled on the way up.
Brennan Votel looks like he hurt his shoulder on that rebound. His right shoulder hanging a little gingerly. Looking down at it, gives it a rub. I don't think he's going to stay out there.
5:17 to go, a 16-point lead. Sizable for UCF, 69-53. Brennan Votel back to the line as lead official Don Daly, ensuring that Brennan Votel is okay to shoot the free throw here.
You got to love Kevin Iggy. He's out of the game right now. Zach Rosen just has a bad turnover, getting the ball up the floor, and Taylor just pretty much takes away the pass. Guess his look. He's Zach.
Zach.
Let's go. You know, kind of refocusing. Senior helping out freshman.
Votel's first one. Good. Bottoms home. 69-54. Wholesale substitutions for UCF as Gaynor, Zondervan, and Jermaine Taylor go out. Back in Davis, along with Baez and A.J. Tyler. Votel getting ready for his second after his right shoulder was roughed up. Brennan, he gets the friendly rattle on a second straight free throw attempt. Count it, 69-55. 14 points in favor of UCF, trying to go to 5-0 this season on their home court. Baez, top of the arc, hounded there by Belcourt. The pass to Davis, who popped through the screen. In the near right corner, Sosa gets rid of Eggleston, stops near right point, makes his way to the right high post, pivots. Tyler, foul line, far left to Weathers. Will Weathers, top of the arc to Tyler, to Sosa, six to shoot. Sosa shrugs off Gaines and says, hey, I'm going to try that, but he couldn't get it to go. And over the back foul against Penn, and it's Zach Rosen. And for Zach Rosen, his third personal foul. And Zach Rosen, the three previous outings, Vince, with four personals. It's a non-shooting foul as it's just a sixth team harm against the Quakers.
That's something he'll learn a little bit from. If he gets more experience, he will be able to play a little longer stretches without fouling. He'll play a little more loose speed. A couple reaches tonight.
Weathers, top of the arc. Five there by Rosen. Four and a half to go in regulation. 69-55. 10 behind by 14. Far sideline left on the wing. It is Weathers. Kick out Davis, who drills it from deep. On the line drive. 72-55. Largest lead of the game for the Golden Knights. That's 17. Belcourt, top of the arc. Far right corner, Rosen. The Quakers matched UCF's intensity and consistency in the first half. The defense was solid. It's gotten away from the red and blue here in the second. As the ball just got away from Penn as well. Turnover picked up by Weathers. To a hole in the lane. Baez lost it. Davis can't follow. Still free. Far left as Rosen tries to save it. But he steps over the far sideline out of bounds. So possession will be maintained by UCF after this break. 3:45 to go in the second. Timeout on the floor. The score is 72-55. UCF leading 10. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on 88.5 SGM. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Abner's Cheesesteaks supports Penn Basketball on SGM. For more than two decades, Abner's has been an integral on-campus establishment, serving its famous cheesesteaks and fresh garden salads. Abner's Cheesesteaks, located in University City at 3818 Chestnut Street. For the most up-to-date information on Penn basketball, visit the official University of Pennsylvania Athletics website at pennathletics.com.
Mrs. Will ya? Pay me tea. They love me. Put it on the telly.
.345 left in the opening round of the UCF Holiday Classic, and the Penn Quakers behind the host squad, UCF Golden Knights. 72-55, alongside Vince Kern, Ryan Seltzer, and Jim Mann during the halftime interview with our director of athletics, Steve Bilkey. One thing he said is that Penn does not have the offensive firepower to really score at will. We've seen it various points throughout this campaign so far. The Quakers get to this crucial juncture where they're close. They could either get on a little run to get back in it, or if the other team does so, it could slip away. And we saw that tonight when Sosa banged those three pointers from beyond in succession. Here's Sosa again. Pardon me, Baez in the near right corner, who knocks it down from the outside. 20 points now to lead for UCF.
And Penn came out trying to trap in the half court right there. UCF does a decent job of not only breaking the trap, but then finding the open man in the corner.
Votel for three, top of the key. Good for Brennan Votel. He has 7 points, and it's 75-58 with 3:18 to go. Near sideline, right on the perimeter, Baez, top of the arc, Sosa, swings it far left on the wing to Weathers. Baez deep in the middle, whistle away from the play, and the horn against Harrison Gaines for the Quakers, and that's his third, and it's 10-7.
And according to Statman extraordinaire Stu Suss sitting to my left, Penn has played man-to-man defense 10 times in the second half. UCF 10 for 10 against that man-to-man defense.
The Stucinator comes to numbers. There's no holiday break for Stu.
No holiday break for Stu Suss, that's for sure.
Remember, he passed up a job on the sidelines with Chuck Daly at the Detroit Pistons to stay loyal to his program. An entrenched figure with red and blue basketball is Statman Stoos, as the front end falls for Will Weathers.
We're just stolen time at this point. You were giving Stu his shout-out.
You tell me they ain't deserved?
Stu does deserve. There's no doubt about that.
Weathers at the stripe for a second, and you can count that one as well with a swish. 77-58, 19 points.
What's coming up after our broadcast tonight,
Duffy? Man, this is my show coming up next. I might have to stream it online at xpn.org. Damnation with Mike Vasilikos. New man on the scene at 88.5 XPN. We'll hear some heady tunes for sure. In the near right corner, Harrison Gaines blasts towards the bucket. Took out, no one there. Belcourt recovers. Out of bounds, saves it to Eggleston. Far right baseline, Iggy draws the foul, but he can't get the finish to go.
I bet there's been another player just pointing out some positives here. Rob Belcourt, another save by running down a ball, making a nice catch, making a nice save. You know, he gets tips, he's getting deflections. I'm pretty impressed with the way he has played tonight, especially defensively.
Cam Lewis provided good minutes in the first half. He's on the bench now with two personal fouls, but it seemed like as far as certain roles the Red Blue needed filled, as Iggy can't hit his first. It remains 77-58, 2:37 to go. You know, Belcourt and Cam came in and they filled certain roles for Glenn Miller.
I would agree with that. Cam Lewis, three block shots, and probably altered three or four more.
The second one, that one falls for Penn Senior, 77-59. If you joined us late in this game, you missed a very spirited first stanza. Penn trailed the intermission 35-32. Once again, some news developing over the last 24 days with this program on a hiatus. Andreas Schreiber out for the season with a separated shoulder. He did it a second time in practice following the Navy game. And in the far left corner, there is Drew Spiroff, son of the head coach, hands off to Weathers. The off-balance runner on the right side of the line is good. It's 79-59, 2-9 to go. Darren Smith out for the year as well. His right kneecap might require surgery again. Votel looking for Iggy on the right block, but he turns it over. And Tommy McMahon departing the program. He gave the comeback a try, but the injury is too much. Hit hard in Lucha Durant.
Not this guy's call. Not this guy's call. He's going to call an intentional foul.
It's a minute 55 to go, and UCF up by 20.
And they're going to call the intentional. The guy's 45 feet away. Again, the x-ray vision, extraordinary.
Jack Eggleston fouling out his fifth personal. A very good, encouraging performance from Jack Eggleston as he continues a nice little run for him. He went scoreless against Monmouth, and then he bounced back from that where he's been averaging in the three games prior to this one, 12.8 points.
It's 15 tonight, but 3-for-4 from three. And if I'm Penn, I mean, I'm encouraged by Jack shooting the ball well from up here, but he's got to get some stuff going on the inside. They have to get him the ball in the low block. They have to let him go to work a little bit down there. He just needs to get more shots. He only has three shots tonight that aren't three-pointers. He kind of live by the jumper, die by the jumper, as they say. And I'd like to see him be a more interior presence. Not saying that he can't shoot the threes, but just you need to get him the block get him the ball down the block.
Sosa switches his first and another one coming, and UCF will maintain possession now ahead 80-59 with a minute 55 to go. And Sosa scores for second. 81-59, a minute 55 remaining in regulation. Garvin Hunt checking in, and for the red and blue rookie, this is his third appearance of the season. He's logged 3 minutes so far. He's gotten assists and a turnover. Garvin's inbounds, and Iggy nearly takes it away from Spraw, and he trashed it down to the backcourt. It was last touched by Iggy, so no backcourt violation. Sosa far left to Weathers. 24 on the shot clock for UCF in the lane. They have Yodio, and Yodio lost it. Gains back the other direction from right to left. Here's side left. Belcourt can't hit for three. Follows his miss. Goes to the lane. Hunt on the far right block to Iggy at the right point. Belcourt top of the key looking in the lane for Votel. Ball ripped away, but it deflects to Hunt. Belcourt's jumper left wing is short off the iron, and Yodio yanks down the rebound. 70 seconds to go, 81-59. Penn came into this game with four losses in a row. Kevin Iggy comes up with a steal. Back the other way, the finger roll falls. 81-61, 60 seconds left on the game clock.
Kevin Iggy continuing to fight. He and Spiro are going at it a little bit. Spiro not liking the fact that Tim still busting it to the bitter end. Spiro, the kid, not the coach.
Spiro on his fourth year with the program, the player that is. stood out for the third time this season against Valpo, the last time he played, which was on the 22nd.
Never seen that chant before. They're good. They're going bad coach, good coach, putting in our coach and our coach.
Spiraw nearly lost the ball in the backcourt, but Sosa comes up with it for UCF. Crosses the timeline in the middle of the floor. This line just running out the formalities of what will be UCF's fifth win at home this season. They remain perfect here at the UCF Arena. That is the name. We just don't call it the UCF Arena because we don't know the name. That's just what they call it here in Orlando. Spiraw, top of the arc, near sideline right. 7 on the shot clock. Weathers tears into the lane and can't tack on two. Garvin Hunt hauls in his first career rebound. Shot clock turned off. 20 seconds to go. As 10, an admirable, inspired effort in the first half. They could not keep pace with UCF in the second. Iggy near left hits the three with 11 and one-tenth of a second to go. Making it 81-64. But this one is done. The Golden Knights hang on to the ball as they improve to 7-4 on this 2008-2009 campaign. At the sound of the horn, the Penn Quakers fall to 1-7, suffering five straight losses for the first time since they dropped 8 in a row to begin the 2000-2001 season. So tomorrow, the Penn Quakers will play in the consolation final against Campbell, while UCF is asked to defend the title here at the UCF Holiday Classic for the third straight season against Chicago State at 7 o'clock. The Comcast Sportsnet postgame show starts on the other side. Myself and Vince Curran will anoint the Smokey Joe's player of the game and also review the final score. That's all due up on 88.5 SPN. This is the Penn Sportsnet.
TECO Energy supports Penn Basketball on XPN. TECO Energy delivers electricity to 1.5 million customers and natural gas to 430,000 customers in southeastern Pennsylvania. TECO Energy. You're listening to University of Pennsylvania Basketball on 88.5 XPN in Philadelphia.
This is 88.5 WSPN Philadelphia, 88.7 WSPH Middletown, York and Lancaster, 90.5 WKHS Wharton, Baltimore, 99.7 Harrisburg, 104.9 in the Lehigh Valley, YROC on HD2, and worldwide at xpn.org. Member-supported radio from the University of Pennsylvania.
Picking up where the action left off, it's Red and Blue Rewind on XPN, presented by Comcast Sportsnet. Now, bringing you a complete recap and reaction from coaches and players and analysis of the final stats. Back to Vince Curran and Brian Seltzer.
81-64, the final score as the Central Florida Golden Knights knock off the Penn Quakers as Penn falls to 1-7 on this season. Again, five consecutive defeats for the first time in 8 years for the Red and Blue. Alongside Vince Curran, Brian Seltzer, Bob Bumbera back at the controls at the Penn Sports Network Broadcast Center. A reminder that Mike Vasilikos with Jam Nation coming up. I need to hear a little Fish. I need to hear a little Bisco. Maybe some Dead. Now they do the Grateful Dead Hour. Who else? A little Soul Live. But first, I think
I'm going to get my hippie card now because I was liking the Cowbell Hour that we were playing, McGlynn was playing before we came on.
But first, before I hear those jams, those tunes, I need to hear what Vince Curran has to say about this game. A tale of two different halves as UCF outscores Penn by 14 in the final 20 minutes after the Golden Knights went into the locker room with just a three-point lead through the first period.
It came down to that 1 point in the second half. Penn down six with the ball. Kevin Eagy gets a wide-open look at a three that rattles out. Sosa makes two threes, and all of a sudden it's up to 12, and Penn's pushing the boulder uphill the rest of the way. See, funny stats, like you look at something, UCF shoots 30 for 56 for the game for 53%, 60% in the second half, but they score 81 points. Guess how many double-figure scorers they have? I've never seen anything like that. Jermaine Taylor goes 14 for 21 from the floor, 34 points, 4 rebounds. Then they spread it around. Davis has 9, Sosa Baez with 8,
Tyler has eight, so they spread it around a little bit. And it's a game that if you're Penn, you look at it, you can be encouraged by a lot of things that happen. But it's one that got away a little bit at the end, and you know, you just wish you could go back and will that one in for Kev and make it a three-point play and let him battle it out for 10 minutes. UCF, to their credit, comes back on the other end and gets it done. I thought Penn does a decent job on the boards. They're out-rebounded 29-25 for the game. It's, you know, the offensive efficiency is not great. 41.3% from the floor, 19 for 46. That's not going to get it done. 8 for 20 from 3, not bad. It's not a bad percentage.
40% is
good. Yeah, and you know what? Jack Engelson goes 3 for 4. As I said a little bit ago, I don't mind Jack taking the three-pointers. I'd like to figure out a way to get him working on the block a little bit. I think Penn's offense is better when they at least have an inside presence.
Well, we know one song Mike Vizilikos won't need to play on Jam Nation, that's Beautiful Day, because we just heard that by you two here at the UCF Arena. As we put the finishing touches on the Comcast Sportsnet postgame show, alongside Vince Kerr and Brian Seltzer, Penn with three double-digit performances, 15 for Jack Eggleston, 13 apiece for Tyler Bernardini, also Kevin Iggy, and the Quakers turn the ball over 17 times to UCF's 14, and UCF, just, we talked about this, outstanding offensive efficiency, 23 assists to 30 field goals.
30 field goals is phenomenal, and they really did a good job of moving the ball and finding their teammates and penetrating and getting a lot going in transition, and Penn just didn't have the offensive firepower to keep up.
So, Vin Mann, it is typical at this time to select our Smokey Joe's player of the game.
Well, Brian, I know it is typical that we do that, and normally you look and you see three double-digit scores, you would think it would be one of those three guys. But I'm going off the reservation, Brian.
I think I know where you're headed with this one.
You think you know where we've done a lot of games together. You think that you're in my head on this one. All right, give me your candidates for where you think I might be going with it.
At the start of the game, there was a new face in the starting five for the Penn Quakers. The freshman out of Lake Forest, Illinois, Rob Belcourt.
Rob Belcourt, very solid game, 3 points. The stats really don't tell the whole story. 3 points, four rebounds, an assist, I think, in 30 minutes. I thought he did a lot of things very well. I thought his defense was very good. He tipped a lot of balls. He saved some offensive possessions with good catches. But not so fast, my friend.
No.
Wrong.
No.
I am going to Mr. Florida himself, Cameron Lewis, coming off the bench. In 20 minutes, 6 points, four rebounds, an assist, three blocks, probably altered three or four more shots, gave Glenn Miller exactly what he needed. Not that Rob Belcourt didn't, but I think Cam tonight, he gets the nod. He just came in and was a physical presence, was an athlete, was long, was athletic, and really competed. And I thought, while Rob Belcourt is deserving, I think Cam Lewis just a little bit more. Rob Belcourt is probably going to get more chances at it, so that probably skews my thinking a little bit. You know me, I like to give guys who might not get a chance to get a little POG action again. I like to get them one on the way out the door.
So Cam Lewis comes down to the Sunshine State and delivers another big performance.
Mr. Florida, he should just transfer. He should have transferred down here years ago.
So Cam Lewis is our Smokey Joe's player of the game.
Hey,
and Ryan,
where is Smokey Joe's?
You know, come on. I know we've been away for 24 days, and we have to get the chemistry back together.
Is that the Penn Institution?
The Smokey Joe's Player of the Game is brought to you by Smokey Joe's, the Penn Institution. And
where is Smokey Joe's, Brian?
Since it's on 40th Street between Walnut and Locust. I hear the bells are tolling. Time for us to go and turn it over to Mike Vizilikos on Jam Nation.
Bob Barrow wants to go home.
81-64 is the final score. Penn now 1-7 on the season as Central Florida improves to 7-4. Penn is in the consolation contest tomorrow afternoon against the Campbell Camels. That tip time is slated for 4:30. We'll have the coverage for you on PennAthletics.com. Once again, PennAthletics.com exclusively for coverage of that broadcast. The executive producer of Penn Basketball and the Penn Sports Network is Brian Head. Our studio coordinator, Bob Bum Barra.
Bummeroo.
And now for my partner, Vince Kern, this is Brian Seltzer saying so long from the UCF Arena. For the Penn Quakers fall to the UCF Golden Knights, 81-64. We join Jam Nation in progress on 88.5 XPN.